수석부터 حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا عبد القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد The subject we are discussing is this There are three types of actions or three reasons why we do the things that we do. Why do you do something? The three reasons for doing it. The first reason is because you want to do it. You like to do it. Meaning that this is from your heart, meaning you like it, that's why you do it. The first reason. Why people do things, why we do things. One of those reasons is that we want to do it and hence we do it. Second reason is that it's not about wanting or liking, but after thinking we discern that this is the right thing to do. So the second reason why we do things is because we discerned it to be right. We used our akal and intelligence and saw that this is right and that's why we do it. This is the second reason why we do things. So it's not about if we like it. In this case, this is discernment or distinguishment. You distinguish that this is the right thing to do. You decided that this is the right thing to do. And you did it. The third reason why we do things is it has nothing to do with our liking, something that we want, or it has nothing to do by our own personal decision, whether this is right or wrong for us. The third reason why people do things is because of taklif, because of an order or a command they get from a higher authority. They get a command, they do it. So it's not about liking what you're doing. It's not even thinking that this is right for you or good for you. Right? The third reason why we do things is because there's an obligation on our shoulders from someone above us. Like for example, a boss who tells you, do this. When a boss tells you, do this, or a teacher tells you to do this, or your father tells you to do this. So this is a command that you have. Now you might not like to do it. You might think that this is not good for you. But because it's an order, you do it. So the third reason why we do the things that we do is taklif. It is command and order. And this is what we are talking about here. And there's a difference between all of these three things. It applies in different places, sometimes it applies in one place. And I'll give those examples and that explanation also. If someone stands at the beginning of an alley, small street. Well, there, someone stands at a small street and you're walking towards that street, and he says, listen, don't go in the street. This is a dead end. Right? Because you want to make a right into the street, and he says, don't go in here. This is a dead end. So you think that, oh, it's a dead end. So you listen to him. Now, here's the thing here. He ordered you not to go there. But you did. The reason you did not go there is not because he ordered you. The reason you didn't go there is because you thought that if this is a dead end, then I decide that I don't want to go there. And hence, in this situation, you are following what? You're following your own decision. You're not following his command, even though he asked you to do it. But for example, if your father says, listen, do your homework. Now, then he explains it. You know, if you do your homework, then you know what? I like you'll become a doctor, an engineer, and you'll earn this much money, and you can buy all the games that you want. So, when he explains his hukum, when he explains his command, then in that case, what happens? That boy does it. Now, is he doing it because the father commanded him to do? Or is he doing it because he thinks there's a benefit in it for him? Is he understand what I'm saying, my friends? Very important. When we want to do taklif, are we doing and following the commands of Allah, or are we just doing the things that we want to do? Or that we think are right to do. With this in mind, let me just go forward a little bit so that we understand this a little bit more. Sing these salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Taklif, obligations, these wajibats that Allah has given us, they have certain characteristics, and I'll mention two of those characteristics that they have. There are two awsaf, or characteristics to commands and obligations. The first thing regarding obligation is that it is something that we cannot distinguish. We cannot discern ourselves. When Allah gives a wajib, or when he makes something haram, or any other order that comes down, it is something that we cannot distinguish in ourselves. If you use your aql from now to the day of judgment, would you ever be able to find out that Maghrib is 3 rakat? Or it should be 3 rakat? No matter how much you use your mind, you won't be able to find out. Allah gave a hukum to pray Maghrib, 3 rakat. The hukum came, the order came, it has nothing to do with what we want. It has nothing to do with what our aql says. What we think is right. When Allah gives an order, the first distinction of an order is that it has nothing to do with our discernment and our decision and our aql. Meaning that what is happening to our aql. It doesn't have to be. Many people over here will say that, it doesn't make sense to me. The whole idea of a hukum is not to make sense to you. If it makes sense to you, then you're not following the command, you're following what you think is right. The idea of a command from Allah is what? Is that it doesn't make sense. Meaning that it should be in your aql. If you had reached it yourself, then what's the use of that? So the first thing is what? The first quality of a hukum is that it doesn't need to make sense to you. Because if it makes sense, then again, we're not following Allah, we're following our own understanding, our own decision. That's not following Allah, that's not obeying Allah. Right? That's one thing. The second thing is that taklif or hukum of Allah or command of Allah does not have any relationship with what we want. Should have any relationship with what we want. Meaning that if we want something and if the hukum says something, then obviously we will do it because we want it, not because the hukum is there. Not because the hukum is there. Let me give an example of that. So you understand, you're completely tired after Laylatul Qadr. So you were up all night making amal, and they didn't have strong tea at the masjid or kahwa to wake you up. Now you go back home and you're tired. You're tired. You cannot wait to fall asleep. You can't wait to fall asleep. Now if someone comes to you, for example, and says, sleep. You say, alright, you don't have to give me an order. I know I'm going to sleep. There's no need for a command. There's no need for a hukum. You don't need to tell me to sleep. This is what I want to do. You see, if the hukum is given, the places where you want to do things, then we don't do it because the hukum, we do it because we want to do it. If at the time of iftar, when we pray and we go there for iftar, if one of the brothers says, eat, you know, bukhur, eat. You don't have to tell me to eat, I'm hungry, of course I'm going to eat. You don't need to tell me to eat. I will eat. Whether you tell me or not, I'm going to eat. Why? Because right now, this is what I want. I'm hungry and I want food. If you tell me, it doesn't matter. Because your hukum would be wasted. Because my desire and what I want is there. My friend, understand this. If Allah's hukum, if Allah, the things that Allah made wajib, were according to our desires and what we want, then we won't be doing because Allah told us so, we would be doing because we want to. We're doing because we want to, not because Allah told us to. That's the reason the hukum of Allah, the command of Allah must be different from what we think is right and should be different from what we want. These two things, understand this. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. No, obviously, when you look at these three things, I gave the example of these three things so you know. All of these three things are necessary for us, my friends. All of them are necessary. Meaning, your desires and what you want is necessary, your choice, your decisions are necessary, and your obedience to orders, that's also necessary. All these three things are necessary. If you stop a person from making choices in his life, if as a boy, you're raising a child, if you raise your child and you never let him choose anything, what will happen to him? Would he become normal or would he become someone who doesn't know how to make a choice now? No, he couldn't say it. What will happen to this boy that the whole life he was never allowed to make a choice of his own? Was he at the end? He wouldn't know how to make a choice, how to want something. He wouldn't know how to get something for himself by his own wish, by his own desire. He wouldn't know that. This is the reason why being normal means to know how to choose something, how to want something. So wanting is also normal. Now the person was told, okay, you can choose, but you can never decide on something. You never learn how to analyze something and decide on something. If you stop someone from deciding anything in all his life, if you raise a child and you say, no, I make the decisions, you don't make decisions, and all his life you make decisions for him, tell me, would that child be able to make decisions when he grows up? He can't. He can't make decisions. Because he was never trained to make decisions. You see, again, mistake. Now, if a person, you see, and I'm explaining why it's necessary, Yes, it's necessary for you to have your own choice. It's necessary for you to make your own decisions. And it's also necessary for you to have someone above you giving orders so you can obey it. If a child is raised without any authority, without any hukum, without any command, without any discipline, what will happen to that child? Would he be normal or would he be a criminal? It's very clear, very evident, that a person who is raised without any authority, without any command, without any discipline, without any amr and nahi, and does not learn to obey it, he will end up becoming spiritually imbalanced. So my friends, all these three things, what you want, what you decide, and what you obey over higher authority, all of these three things are necessary. All these three things are necessary. In order for us to become normal, we need all these three things. Give me some examples again, if you send me salawats. You know, there are many examples nowadays, you know, we can say, right? For example, if a person wants to see the difference between taklif and aql, you see the difference very clearly. If a person says, you know, Allah, you told me to get up for Fajr. That comes in at about 5 o'clock. But I think that it's better for me to get up at 9 o'clock. So I will make Fajr at 9 o'clock. This is what his uncle says. My uncle says, my understanding, if I get up at this time, it's good for me because I can pray, eat my breakfast, and go to work. Now, if I wake up at your time, which is 5 in the morning, I'll have to get up, pray, and go back to sleep again, and then get up again and eat breakfast and go. So, my uncle says it's better for me to pray at 9 o'clock. Allah says you can pray at 9 o'clock as much as you want, but it won't be prayer anymore. It will be exercise. Right, you can exercise it, it won't be counted anymore. We finished. The issue with taklif and aql is that taklif doesn't have to be mutabiq aql. It doesn't have to be according to aql. That is the reason people make mistakes. When they hear a hukum from Allah or a fatwa, they say, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't need to make sense to you. The idea of hukum and command is not to make sense to you. If it made sense to you, then you wouldn't be following the hukum you would be doing because you think this is the right thing for you. Understand that? Hukum means it should make sense to you so that when you do it, you're only doing it because Allah told you to do it. Well, it's because Allah told you, that's why I'm doing this. It's because Allah has told me to do this. Right? Otherwise, to our aql, Fajr at that time makes no sense. It's breaking my sleep in two. My rest in broken. So I need to do what? I need to get back. I need to sleep through and wake up at the right time so I can eat breakfast and go do all the things I want. Perfect. You see? But that will not be obedience to hukum and command anymore. It will be finished. Taklif is something else. Taklif means that you're doing it because Allah told you to, not because it makes sense to you. Not because it makes sense to you. If it makes sense to you, if you think this was right, then obviously then you're doing what you think is right. You're following your own nafs then, or your own aql. See, either you follow your nafs, which is your heart, that I want to do this. Either you follow your aql, not that I want to do this, but you're saying, this is the right thing for me to do. This is the aql saying to you. So either you do what your nafs says, or either you do what your aql says, or either you do what Allah says. Three things. And then these are the only three reasons why we do things. Either we do it because our nafs is telling us to do it, our desire, or our akal is telling us to do it, or a higher authority is commanding us to do it. Three reasons. And all these three are necessary. And I'll give a proof of that also. Why is it necessary? You know, many people can say, Maulana, you know, I mean, do you have a hadith? Do you have something in order to prove that these are the three things that are necessary? These are the three things. I said, yes. You know, obviously I'm not saying this because I had a dream last night and so I got up and said, hey, let me tell this on the moment. Obviously the reason I'm saying this is because there is a reason behind it. There's proof behind it. We have been trained for it. We've been trained for it, my friends. Let me explain to you these three things, right? One, what your heart desires. Two, what your aql discerns. Three, what Allah commands. Three things. Keep that in mind and send me salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
There's hadith from the Prophet about raising children. From the Imams also, but some people might not accept it from the Imams, so I'm saying it from the Prophet. Right? From the Prophet we have a hadith from the Messenger. He said that when your child is from 0 to 7 years of age, how should you treat him? You all know this hadith. When the child is from 0 to 7, how should you treat him? You should be treating him like a prince. You treat him like a prince. Meaning, listen to what he wants, whatever he wants, give it to him. Is he because at that age, the child will not be at that age to say that, you know, Dad, I think this is the right thing for me to do, you know, so I'll choose this over that. He will not use his aql. He hasn't learned how to take orders yet. So what can he do at that age? He says the only thing he can do is tell you what his heart desires, what he wants. That's why at that age you see children say, I want this. Right? They say, I want this. They don't say, I think this is right. Have you ever noticed that? Children who are young, they say, I want. They don't say, I think this is right for me. As adults, we don't say, I want. We say, I think this is right. Right? But for children, they say, I want. Why? Because they are doing what their heart wants them to do. Their nafs wants them to do. And hence, at that age, they are being trained to want and to make choices out of what their heart desires. 7 years of training of what? Of choosing yourself, of wanting whatever your heart desires. Allah gave that freedom at that age, that now is the age. Choose, let them choose. That's why at that age, a parent should never get angry or loud at a child when he gets scared. And this is one of the things that we need to understand, my friends. We have from ulama also these wisdoms. One such alim and this thing, you know, he was this from him that a person whose wife was ill. Remember this, his wife was ill and the illness was not going down. They tried medicine, they tried du'as, they tried everything, but the illness was not going down. So this person came to meet this alim and said, what should I do? Give me a du'a or something by which my wife's condition can get better and her illness can go down. The alim, without even asking what the illness was, he said that your wife's illness is not going to go down. She's not going to become better. He says, but why? What happened? It's because your wife beat up her son, her child. And because she beat him up, Allah now doesn't want to make her better, unless she goes and asks for forgiveness from that child. As a mother, go and ask forgiveness. My friends, the real parents of that child is Allah. Allah is the guardian of the child. He gave that child to you as an amanat, not that you oppress the child, not that you beat up the child. You do anything wrong to that, you have done khiyanat, Allah will then deal with you. So understand this. At that age of 0 to 7, your job with the child is to do what? Whatever he wants, fulfill that for him. So that he learns how to make choices in life, how to want things in life. He learns how to do that. My friend, the first thing, this is the first stage of that. Then you come in the second stage, from the age of 7 to 14. Now what do you do? What's the advice? That in this age, what should you do? You should treat him like a servant. Meaning, give him taklif. Give him commands, give him orders. Because in this age, you're doing what? You're getting him used to taking orders. Taking commands. At first, he was wanting, he was doing things because he wants him to do it. Now he should do things because you are telling him to do it. You should give commands to your children so that they learn to do things because of command. Not because they want to. I can understand a very big difference here. Not because they want to, but because you are commanding to. Meaning, for example, if you tell your child, listen, bring me some water. And the child says, playing his game, I'm busy. No, not me, don't worry. Bring me some water, he says. And what happens is that he says, I'm busy. Now, you see what happened? He hasn't learned how to take orders yet. So now what do you do? Because those who are weak, what they do is that they say, well, if you bring me water, I'll buy you ice cream. Now he gets up from his game, goes and gets you water. Now, is he doing this? Is he bringing you water because you told him to, or because he has a benefit in it? See, you haven't taught him how to take orders yet. A child at that age should learn how to take orders. You are doing it because I tell you this is an order. Learn how to take orders. He hasn't understood what an order is, what a command is. This is taklif, my friends. Understand, you do it not because you want to, but because I told you to. There's a higher authority that is telling you to, and you do it. This is how you teach how to take orders. So at that age, you are training him how to take orders. Now you come to the third stage, my dear, when he is 14 to 21. What happens in that? It is said, Rasulullah said, that in that age you make him your advisor. Make him your advisor and your wazir. And do what? And make him think of what is right and wrong. Let him make decisions based on his aqal. My friend, understand this. Three things we learn in this growth pattern, this cycle we have that Rasulullah has advised us to do. Three reasons for doing actions. The first is that we should do it because we want to. We do things because we want to. Second, we do things because our aqal tells us. Third, the reason is that Allah and His higher authority commands us to do it. Three things we have been trained to do in our life. If we do those three things, then you see that then our life will become fulfilling and pleasurable and enjoyable. If you leave any of these three things aside, you will see that your life will become bitter and miserable. And all these three things, each of these three things is the reason why the others are enjoyable. Understand this, my friends. These are the reasons, these three things, each of these three things is the reason why others are enjoyable. Others are enjoyable. If you miss any one of them, meaning, for example, what your heart desires, what you want, if you don't do that, then you'll see that your obligations and taklif wouldn't be enjoyable. And if you don't have wajibat and taklif and you do not do those things, then you'll see that your Whatever you desire is not going to be enjoyable anymore. Do you want an example for that? Yes or no? Yes? Okay. I'll give an example. Right? Let's understand this. I'll give an example so you all know this very well. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Adults will understand this example I'm giving, and I'll give one for the children. What I'm giving for the adults, pay very attention to what I'm saying right here. Those people who do not observe the rules of hijab and nazar, those who do not observe, when Allah gave the hukum of hijab, command of hijab, He gave the command of nazar, both on both sides, men and women. Look down, do not look at this, do not look at those who don't observe that. Then in those places where Allah gave you the freedom from hijab and nazar, those places where now Allah says, okay, here there is no hijab, here there is no stopping of nazar, you will see that person who doesn't observe the rules there will never be able to enjoy those freedoms that Allah has given him. If your eyes are used to seeing wrong things, then when you are with your wife, you will never enjoy your wife. You will never find pleasure in your wife. If you had observed those rules of hijab and nazar, then you will find pleasure in those places where Allah has given you freedom from hijab and nazar. Understand this? This is not a joke. This is reality. This is reality, my friends, how it comes out. Belief is what makes the other places good. Now a little easier example, or less intense example I'll give you. You know when you pray, after you pray, you're like, oh man, I feel good, alhamdulillah, it's done. You know, after every prayer, you feel like, alhamdulillah, it's done. One wazifa is done, one duty is done, one obligation is done, and you feel good about yourself, right? You feel nice about yourself. My friends, in that situation, listen, why are you feeling so good? Because when you do obligations, when you fulfill an obligation, then the time that's between the obligations, between one prayer to another, Allah naturally, not just Allah, naturally that time in between the prayers becomes more enjoyable for you. It becomes more pleasant for you. As someone who doesn't pray, even the time that he has on his hands, he is not enjoying that time. You see, each of these three things gives pleasure to the other. If wajibat are there, then they give pleasure to all the life that is other than that. This is the reason I said the other day, if anyone says that I do what my heart wants to do all the time and I'm happy, is lying. Because happiness in that time can only come when obligations are being fulfilled. When obligations are being fulfilled, that's the only time that true happiness can be felt. My friends, just one thing I want to mention here before I end. One thing I want to mention here so that you understand. Something regarding our relationship with Allah. Really, you know, that we need to understand this. You know, Allah, don't think that Allah has a syndrome of giving orders and commands, my friends. You know, like some, you know, like there are people who have, like, you know, syndromes and disorders, you know. Yeah. I just want to give commands to others, you know, make people run around, you know. It is not like that. It's really not like that. You know? And I want to say something that is precious. And I'm saying this because this is a gathering of mu'mineen and believers. And I'm saying this because this is the month of Ramadan. And because of the nur in the month of Ramadan, maybe this could be understood very well. What I'm going to say right now. Right? And what I want to say is this. Really, what I want to say is this. Do you think that Allah What does Allah love more? In other words, what does Allah love more? Does He love to give orders and you obey? I mean, does He love it or does He like it? Or does He like to give orders and that you obey His orders? Or does He like more that you give Him orders and that He obeys your orders? Think about it. What does Allah like more? That He wants to give you orders that you do it? Or does He want you to give orders to Him that He does it? Think for a while, my friend. What does Allah like more? You know what? Understand this. You know? Allah likes... Really, when you don't understand this, what does Allah like more? Allah... Really, if you understood this, right, then really, after this, you know, you can't speak anymore. You know what I mean? Really can't speak anymore if you understood this point. Allah likes it more when you tell Him to do something and He does it. That's why you see, if Allah is giving you orders, it's very few times He gives you orders. So when you look for a hukum or when you find a hukum from Allah, just look at it as a blessing, because Allah is not that type of a being who gives orders. He likes taking orders. That's what He's saying in this short life that you're here. If you listen to my commands here, then I will listen to you for an eternity in Jannah. There you tell me what to do and I will listen to you for an eternity. I will fulfill your command. Whatever you want, I will give you. Just in this life, short life, I'm just giving you this. My friends, if this is not enough for us to become ashamed in front of Allah, when you see a hukum of Allah, when you see an obligation, a wajib from Allah, and we're looking at it and we're saying to Allah that, Allah, this is all you have given us. And you want to listen to us. We tell Allah, Allah loves that you tell Allah something. And He will do it for you. If this is Allah, and this is the character of Allah, then imagine, if Allah is giving us a hukum, with what pleasure we should be doing that hukum. What kind of feeling and emotion should be doing that hukum? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us that tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right paths. Give us the wisdom to understand His guidance. Hastens the reappearance of Imam. Makes us His helper when He comes. وآخر الدعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين